All right. I asked the praise team not to leave because I like when the Spirit rolls for me, and I've already had a good little cry this morning, and I really know that where I'm going with my message, which is abnormal, and I knew what songs they were going to sing, but it didn't hit me until we get into the bridge of the song that Alyssa was singing a minute ago, was the cross meant for me? So she's going to sing. You can stand up again. We have no little children except for a few. Nothing's going to hinder you, and I want to give you an opportunity to just simmer for a moment in a little bit more worship before I preach, because it hits hard when you sing that bridge out loud. Was that cross meant for me that he took? Yes. The answer is yes. So stand up, please. Tech team. I dropped it and the button broke. It stays on the whole time. It's had as much coffee as I have this morning. So just mute it for a few minutes because I'm going to need it. I think I'm feeling a little adventuresome. My wife said out loud that I can't say that I got to fight the Holy Spirit all week because I knew that I was going to preach and I knew what I wanted to preach and he's going to let me. I like it. Amen. We're going to have a plane. We're going to land it here in a little bit. But the first part, because I love the spirit of awkwardness, don't say amen right there. I need the entire youth group up here. I'm not the awkward one. They are. Yes, boys, you can come too. There's no girls here looking. It's fine. All right, so y'all just stand right in here. That's fine. I'm going to need... Wow, now you're way too in my personal space. Listen, that is my personal space, 100%. All right, so I've had some things going on over the past handful of weeks that's not me. Like Luke will sit down in a chapter and preach it for 6 months and kind of be in there. I'm not that guy. And I listen to the Holy Spirit when he tells me what we're supposed to be doing. I've been in the book of Acts with these kids, and I'm not one of those kind of guys that week after week, and we'll just get to where we can get, and we make sure that they get it. But we've been there, and it's been great, I think. And then when he said, you know, I need you to preach this day, and I'm like, cool, I'll find something. I can't stop being in Acts. I just cannot. So I the only thing that I wrestled with the Lord is I said, Lord, I'm to a certain point with these kids. I don't want to preach to the adults because I don't want to go too far and then backwards and then, and so, but here we are. So we're going to be in Acts a little bit this morning, but I have a theory that just because I've had bad experience in the past where kids will go home and tell their parents what I preached about out of context and they won't actually tell them. So we make it a point that I won't go too far as long as you learn one thing, right? And so I am adamant that we go backwards and in each week. So we're going to be in Acts, and they also know that I love the word context, right? Context means everything because we could preach anything out of context and make it say whatever he wants. But God's word is good, it's whole, and it's sufficient, and it doesn't need to be taken out of context to be amazing. Amen? Wow. Phil is at home right now. He's probably in wherever he is, and he's saying amen. Thank you. Let's all wave to Phil. All right. So here's what I want to know. It's going to be awkward for them because I want to make sure that they're listening, but we have to know the context of where we're at because I'm going to be somewhere in Acts probably 4 here in a minute, but you've got to know what's going on because this is the beginning of the... Wow. We have a thing. Sometimes I unholster flying air quotes, and you have to reholster them quickly. But I find it fun to start talking about foundations. We're talking about foundations in Genesis in Sunday school. We're talking about foundations because they are getting to an age at this stage in their life that they are going to be swayed by everything that comes and goes. And they are going to be starting to encounter people just like we do as adults that love to trip up a Christian. And if you are not standing solidly on what you know to be true, they will fall over and they will back up and they will not propel the gospel at their age. Just facts. I didn't make it up. I'm playing by the rules. So we have to understand the whys. We have to understand the beginning. If you look at the beginning, you know where the future is, right? Somebody smarter than me said that. Amen. Nice. Does that make me the smartest guy y'all know? Those two didn't go together? Okay, fine. All right, so help a... There's a mic. I probably don't need to give y'all a microphone. We have to tell the congregation who is in Acts. Who's there in the beginning? So Acts 1, where are we starting? Who's there? Well, who wrote it? Who? They're going to hear you. I know because we've... Perfect. So who was there in the very beginning of Acts? The disciples. Who else? Jesus. What had just happened? Let's give a chronological timeline of Acts 1 in the absolute beginning. Set the scene for me, Levi. Set the scene. Like, what's going on? Like, if I'm going to put a big cartoon above my head and I'm going to read Acts 1, who's there and what's going down? Sure.
And Jesus goes up into heaven.
Ooh, skipping ahead, but I like it. No, it's good. Keep going. So that means Jesus was here, right? So it is not in the Gospels, so we know that Jesus has been buried and raised again, and he's back, right? And they find it to be weird. And this is a two-way street I'm doing for y'all because I need you to be in the context of where I'm going to try to end this morning. So I've got the disciples and I've got Jesus, but it's awkward because they still didn't know what a death and a resurrection was. That didn't happen. It wasn't like, oh, look, he did that thing that we saw that guy. No, that was a new thing. And they're still confused at who he is going to be, but he's there in person, correct? Physical body came down, right? Why? And he told them that you were going to be what? My witnesses. So here is the context of Acts 1. Jesus is back for how many days?
40.
Wow. All right, the preacher's kid's got to stop. Y'all agree with the 40 days? Because they answer just as much too, I promise. So Jesus is now back in front of his disciples. These are his dudes that have been rolling with him through all of this that still really don't know. The cool part is if you think you don't know, that's okay. His 12 disciples, they didn't know either. And he came back in bodily form for how many days?
40 days.
And why was it important that he came back in bodily form? To prove his existence, to make them witnesses so that they could go do what? Tell other people, right? So we understood the Great Commission at the end of the Gospels, right? Where Jesus tells what's going to do. And let's all agree on the same page that we want to be disciples, correct? We are disciples for Christ if we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the Great Commission is not weird. It's not Justin giving you a charge that's not biblical, right? So this is the very beginning in the book of Acts because it's the beginning of the
church.
I like it. These guys are teachable. I like it. This is the beginning of the church. And if I'm the church and you're the church, I should want to fully know about the beginning of the church and how it started, correct? So we're in Acts 1. And that's the stage. That's who's there. What does Jesus tell those? I'm going down here. We're not going to make eye contact. What does Jesus tell his disciples to do before he just goes, rolls back out? That was an ascension again, a secondary one. I don't know if y'all saw that, but for me, it was glorious. And yes, the coffee's kicking in. He told his disciples to do what? No, before that. He told them to go where? And what? And wait. Right. So he told his disciples that have been with him the whole entire time that still don't know what's going on. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Why? Anybody? That's fine. You can be the one. Right. Did they even know what that meant? Again, we're here in the beginning of Acts, and these disciples had no idea what that meant, that the Holy Spirit is going to come. I am going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. They heard about it. John the Baptist talked about it. He said, I baptize you with water. I'm going to send one that will baptize you with fire. So this is still the context of Jesus' 12. Stop there, and Jesus says, hey, go to Jerusalem and wait. They're like, we got places to be. No, they didn't. They got anywhere to be. and the Holy Spirit was coming. Now, I am a cartoon visual listener when people talk, so I need you to be for a moment and think about it for a second. So what'd they do? Did they go and wait? Okay, where'd they go to? Upper room. Upper room. Perfect, I like it. And then what happened? All right, pause. You guys fully know these stories, so I'm not teaching you anything that you haven't read, but I love visual stories. Again, imagine if we go get all those kids back down there and bring them all back in here and just let them do what they naturally want to do. This mighty rushing wind that showed up was louder than that. Can you imagine? Any of y'all got an Apple Watch? Raise your hand. Wow. Some Android lovers in here. Anyway, okay, your Android probably does it too, or your Samsung device. But if you're in a loud environment for very long, it's going to say, bro, you're in a loud environment. But think about it for a minute. There was a mighty rushing wind that rolled into this upper room. They are confused. Why? Because they didn't have trains. They didn't, like, it was abnormal. And then what happened? There's a great visual. One of y'all said it. There's a fire of what?
There's a fiery tongue with a falcon.
Perfect. This is where it's awkward, okay? Think of a fiery tongue resting on somebody, split fork on fire. Talk about weird, right? Let's be honest. You were a disciple of Jesus, and you get to that point, and you still don't know what he's been talking about from the beginning, and now he's like, the Holy Spirit's going to show up, and then you're like, okay, I don't understand it, but I'll go. I mean, there's food. Where there's snacks, the good Baptists are there. And so we're chilling in the upper room, a big wind, and then tongues of flame. How awkward is that? Just envision it. Like if you were over at the Mexican restaurant and you look to your next door neighbor and he's got like, it's funny like that. Like I think it's great. But then what happened? See that? Treat them well. Early we talk about languages, not tongues, so we don't have to get confused. And who was in town? Lots of people from other places, right? And what happened? They started hearing their own language. So the way that I explain it to these guys is, imagine there are four or five of you from Guatemala and you are in Paris. Wow, that's random. And all of a sudden, you didn't bring anybody else other than the four of you, and you start hearing somebody proclaiming goodness in your language that you never would have imagined would be happening. What are you going to do? You're going to gravitate and go, who is that? Did I lose somebody? Is there something? Like, so that's what's happening there. So that's what the confusion and the tongue start happening. What are they proclaiming? The gospel. The goodness of Christ. The Christ that they have seen in their languages. It's really glorious. The beginning of Acts. The beginning of the... Good enough. Yeah, I like it. All right, so then they... Man. No, we're still there. We're still there. That's in... That's like the middle of two. Stand by. Just stay here and be awkward with me. Oh, and so he started, Peter started preaching to them because they said, wait a minute, what'd they say that they were? They said they were drunk, and Peter said they can't be drunk. Why?
Because it's
9 o'clock in the morning, right? That's the reason. And then he started to tell them about the resurrected Christ, that they were physical witnesses. Listen, there is a lot to be said about physical witnesses with your own eyes. Our entire Bible account comes from people physically seen him. Like, I'm not going to take a left turn for a moment. I will. I'll take a left turn for a moment. We're not going to debate Islam and Christianity this morning, but Muhammad saw nothing. Y'all can say amen. Saw nothing. So that's why it's important. This is the beginning of the church. Seeing a resurrected Jesus. Y'all may sit down. Give him a hand. Let's make it more awkward. All right, so where do we end? It's 10 till 12? Whew. It's a good thing Plaza Maya's open for dinner.
Yeah.
Where's that amen at? That was from a child that has no money and no car. Okay. I think it's important to understand the context of the beginning, and where I stopped before I got to them is going to get into chapter 4, and I'm going to read chapter 4, and I'm going to preach for only a moment. At least the two of y'all got that. It's fine. We forgot to talk about what happened in 3. As soon as Jesus rolled away and they moved on, is that chapter 3, Peter and John were going to the temple in the hour of prayer, and they healed a lame beggar that sat all of his life outside of the temple, and he was always there. And somebody back here in that back row, no, that's fine. We'll just keep going on. Peter and John said to him, "Now look at me." And the beggar didn't want to look up, and they healed him. So now we've got an uproar, right? So you're going to have to go read 1, 2, 3, because I need to skip ahead because I just need to get to my notes or something. But in 3, they heal a guy, right? Well, up until that point, that was no bueno, right? That was a Jesus thing. You agree with that? Are we all in the same context? And now Jesus is gone, and now people are getting healed. That's awkward for a lot of people. That's a no-no, right? So it comes to pass that they are having problems, and Peter and John are talking about it. So I'm going to start. You've got that up there, right? Let's just start at 4, and I want you to feel this for a minute because this is where I want to be this morning. I am going to talk about boldness, and I have been convicted on preaching, and I paused before we went into chapter 4 last week because I want to be fully prepared to teach boldness to these teenagers because it's easier for us as adults to be bold, I think, than it is for kids to be bold. We have had a little more time to prepare, such as I, not such as Trevor, because he's not as old as I am, and he makes sure I remember that. All right, starting at 4, it says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. So if you go back to chapter 2, 3,000 was the first day of the church. Like they had an altar call service, like they had a big tent like we do up here, and boom, 3,000 members of the first day of the church was there. We all there? Right? So the church started there with those 3,000. The movement of following Christ started with 3,000. And here, Peter and John, they had another 5,000 show up, the number that was added. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, hear this, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," this is the hurtful part, "whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by who? By you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is," highlight this, "there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Somebody say amen. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. I'll pause for a minute. Thankful for being an uneducated, underwhelming, what did it say? I've already walked away. Uneducated, common man. Raise your hand if you are an uneducated, common man. I thought you and I were going to have to fall on that sword by ourselves. But I am thankful that even in the beginning of the church, that God is using an uneducated common man, that is what we are, to do mighty works in his name and to grow the church. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. What are they supposed to say? There he is. There he stands. He is with them. They can't deny that it happened. They just can't. It's not physically able. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We cannot deny it." I'm going to skip forward for a minute just because I want to get to the meat of this thing for a second. And here is what is happening. These guys are preaching boldly, right? I'm going to skip over to 27, Mike. I'm sorry for doing that to you. Perfect. You are so good. The new guy is on it. Sometimes, you know, in unpaid positions, you kind of just get what you pay for. Oh, just kidding. You're doing a fantastic job. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And here's where I want to preach this morning. 29 says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servant to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Lord, I pray this morning, I really do, I pray that you move me out of the way and that you let me get into the words that you have given me to talk about boldness. And Lord, it is what I pray that we roll into today's society, because we are in a losing battle of good, bold Christian men and women living life on the daily, not wanting to speak about Christ. That's what I pray this morning, that it's only your words and not mine. Amen. So, I see those parts and pieces, and what are they praying? They've already got the Holy Spirit, but they're getting opposition, right? And so I start to think, we deal with opposition every day. Raise your hand if you've ever been in jail for Christ. Thankfully, okay. You? Never been to jail for Christ? You ever been to jail in general? No oppositions here. Fantastic. The problem is now we've got opposition. We face opposition every day for being a Christian. Will you agree with that? Wow. I'll go over here again. We face opposition. You know what? I'm going to stand right here, and I'll say it this way. If we are doing life correctly as a Christian, we should face opposition for the cause of Christ. Whew. Thank you, 62.5% of you. The reality is, every piece of the Bible says that if we are doing discipleship and evangelism correctly, someone's going to feel some sort of way against us. They're going to press back. The problem is a lot of us, and I'm going to be myself included, it's the most unfortunate sometimes when you go to preach and the accusation all week long is, you're in there, you're in there. But you get to the end of the day and go, what did I do for the cause of Christ today? And you get to the end of the day and go, as much as I did yesterday, nothing. Like, I deal with these things on the regular. Boldness. We're not going. Yeah, I'm going there. I deal with on the regular that my wife gets the opportunity day in and day out to look a young lady that is in an absolute bad spot, and she gets to say, can I pray with you? How often do I, in the electrical trade that I'm in all day, every day, I'm at lunch all the time, how often do I get that opportunity to look people that I'm forced to be with and look them in the eye and say, can I pray with you? Not as much as that. I'm not supposed to feel envious of that. I am thankful that God has put her in that path, but that's where we should be if we have a boldness of Christ. God will put us in places to preach his name. That's why that song hurt my feelings for a minute, because I am alive as a testimony. Now, there is a crucial continental divide, and it's not a right or a wrong thing, but there is a continental divide down the middle. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, as happened in Acts 2, you're on one side of this coin, and you're not going to get boldness. I'll leave that alone for a moment. But if you are on that side of the coin and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't pray for boldness. You need to ask for the Holy Spirit. And it's not a repeat after me prayer. I'm pointing to you children back there, because this is important. This is one of the core things that we did. Let's all turn around to these children, because I let them go away. But when the crowd started getting their feelings hurt, right, and it cut their heart like a knife, and they said, okay, they probably didn't say bro, but they said, all right, bro, now you've got my feelings hurt because I killed that Jesus. That's what you're saying. And then they said, what should we do? What did he tell them? What? Say it louder. Repent. He wasn't on TV saying, repeat after me. He wasn't on TV talking about, just get a little forgiveness. Almost got you. Saw that? That was great. He didn't say any of that. He used the words that are absolutely offensive. Somebody say amen. Repent. The word repent is offensive. Everything that you find wishy-washy in today's Christianity says just invite Jesus into your heart. No, no. No, no. That's not biblical. That's not in the New Testament anywhere. Jesus came to hurt your feelings. He said you've got to repent. Now, repentance is one of those things. How did I define it, Levi? Repentance. Oh, you're trying to like talk. We don't have time for that. Like I am, you and I are in lockstep today. What does it mean to repent? And to thank you. And to turn away. I use this illustration that you're walking down this aisle and this pathway in life, and you come to an understanding that you need Jesus in your life. Repentance doesn't mean forgive me, Lord. And you walk this way, because the problem that we understand, because we've all been there, or I can be the only one, is if you ask for repent or forgiveness and you keep walking down the same path that you were walking before, you're going to have to ask for it again, right? The problem is when they say, okay, I killed that Jesus and all of that. Sorry, y'all are having to turn around. I'll go back up here. I feel bad. The problem is if I'm still on that path, it's problematic. I haven't repented. But if I turn and I fix my eyes on who? Man, y'all weren't there, but you knew where I was going. That was some context clues. If I turn and I fix my eyes on Jesus, I'm now not headed down that path. So repentance is true and fruit comes from it. Again, let me draw that line down the middle again. You have to leave here with the conviction of if you're on this side or this side. It's the same thing that I tell my teenagers every week. If I was to say, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? They're all going to... Why? They're going to lie. Because it's uncomfortable as teenagers in a room if your friend knows Jesus and you don't. Everybody that's been going to church for a hot minute should say out loud, I know Jesus. But the reality is that it's not true. Somebody say amen? Don't raise your hand. My testimony. Who has gone to church for a period of years before you actually got saved? Thank you, handful of you, for us to be in that same spot. True repentance is different than just asking Jesus or asking for forgiveness of those acts. And that's what he told them to do. But here he is with the boldness going on. Man, I've got an entire page of notes. Honey, next time we go to the office, Max, when they're closing, I got notebooks at the office everywhere. But I started, I went back home for a little bit this morning. Me and the Holy Spirit, we got a cool thing. But also me and the devil, I don't know why he shows up early in the morning. But 6:40 this morning, my alarm's... Raise your hand if you get woken up at 6:40 and your alarm is set for 7:25, you mad. Wait, four of you? Honestly, if you get woken up at 6:40 and your alarm is set for 7, because you can't even get a good sleep cycle back in. When the dog wanted to go out at 2 a.m. and I kicked him outside, I'm like, oh, bro, I've got 5 hours. I am fine. But when the devil wakes me up at 6:40 and says, you don't have enough material to preach this morning, call in sick. He does it every Sunday morning that I have to preach, wholeheartedly every time. And now I'm in a panic mode going, I want to go back to sleep because I am walking in step with what the Lord told me we are talking about this morning. The devil says, you don't have enough. So I go into a panic. Oh man, I even have object lessons back there, but it's fine. And then I listen to the Holy Spirit and he says, hold my hand, we'll be fine. You're studied up, you know what's happening, you understand the context. And I've got an entire page of notes that I don't think I'm going to preach here for a minute, but if you are a note-taking kind of person, we need to be bold in Christ, right? If we are to be disciples of Christ that emulates, no, what's the word? Which one of y'all teaches English? It's not emulates. Aren't you a teacher? What's the word I'm looking for? Come on, get in there. What's the word? What? Oh, I like it. I don't know fully what that means, but we could be wrong. We could be wrong together. But if I want to duplicate what's happening on day 1 and day 2 and day 3 of the Wow, thanks, gentlemen. If I want to do what they did on day one, day two, and day three, and I want to be like Peter proclaiming the gospel to people that have never heard it, I should be bold, right? This world is full of plenty of people that are not bold. Yes? What happens to them? Anything. Just give me one. I'm going to use my stuff. Somebody tell me, what happens to a not bold Christian when they try to explain the gospel in a world that's loud and noisy? They get run over. They're called a pansy, right? Maybe that's, who put this in the way? Raymond? Oh, mercy. Oh! I spent so much time this morning that I just have to... Hold on.
No.
You allergic to almonds?
No, she's not.
You just lied in the church. Repent! Sir, you can do this. I just want you to have, you can take one. You just eat it. Huh? You want one? Okay, here, you.
How come she don't get it out of the same bowl?
Y'all can't share.
No.
I was going to give them two of them.
Oh, no, it's good. Here, sir. Oh, that's a whole bucket of candy. When the church is done, can we trade? I like it. I'm going back this way. So here you go. No way. You kids have already done so much good for me. Oh, here. There you go. That's nice, nice. There we go. Oh, no. All right. All right. Are you going
to
eat it?
I'll get you.
5 second rule?
No.
Here.
Kids with allergies.
Oh. I didn't think about that this morning. Okay. Do not leave the almonds in the sanctuary. All right. Thanks, Trevor. All right, so I drove this morning all the way to Kroger's because my desire was to have plain Jane almonds. Right? Everybody knows what a plain Jane almond tastes like, right? Moderately unsalted, very functional, but kind of yucky. I can't get away from this. Here, let me. They're fantastic. The most burly looking dude in the room takes one.
Is it dill pickle, you
said? I don't know. Yeah, probably dill pickle, for sure. Just take a handful. Just take it. You want some? That's dill pickle, sure. Just take. Oh, these guys taking one out of there. So, all right, Bert, do me a solid. I gotta preach. You just pass these out. Just pass those around. Just you be in control. Do not leave any on the floor because we have tree nut allergy children. But so all week long, I have been convinced that being bold for Christ is something that we have to be. And the reason that I'm convinced of that is because that's what's happening in the very beginning. They pray, God, make me bold, because these guys know as much as I do, but I have seen you and I have seen your power. And me, being 43, in today's world, I have got to be bold because I get through lots of days and I'll have a conversation about Jesus with you, but I'm not as bold as I need to be. Now, what time is it? Who cares? No, come on, wait a minute. If Phil Schaefer was here and I said, what time is it? And then I said, who cares? He would have said, amen. I'll do you like I do my teenagers. Here's the reality before you get those. I went all the way this morning to Kroger's to buy almonds. And then my very favorite almond is wasabi and soy. Those are like manna from heaven, right? And then there was another mango habanero. Look at all those people that are like, no thanks, I don't want to be bold. But I bought those, so the physical representation, I was going to make the kids, and then I felt bad because sometimes I make them eat weird stuff and they puke and it gets awkward. But I want you to understand what a bold almond is like in comparison to a plain almond. The plain almond still gets the job done. You are a Christian. You can be a plain Christian. But if I'm going to propel the gospel in today's world, You got to be bold. You got to be bold. You don't have to be obnoxious. I just choose to be. You've got to be bold. There was no amens there. I'm going to go with that. I have a few notes, or at least bullet points, for those of you that are taking notes, because, man, I promise you, I came prepared. How to be bold in Christ. Give me 10 minutes. That's what I tell the kids. We giggle, and then I say, I'll dismiss you. Give me 10 minutes, and let me give you these bullet points, because I think it's valid that I spent all of this time, and the Lord says we have to talk about, yes, the context is there. Yes, we want to propel the church forward in today's society. And yes, in the very beginning, my disciples were praying for boldness. So should I. What are you drinking water for, sir? You found the bold, watered down, bold kind of a guy. There we go. How to be bold in Christ. Number one, recognize that boldness as a Christian comes from humility. Yes, I started it with that. And no, I don't like it. By nature, I am not a super humble kind of a guy. Don't say amen there, honey. Thank you. Recognize that boldness as a Christian comes from humility. Submitting yourself to God is genuine humility. Dependence on His power instead of ours brings out boldness. Do you agree with that or disagree? I have a hard time because Luke talks about it, that little throne that sits on top. Like, I get up every morning and I have to evict myself off it because I am good at it, I like it, and it's the easiest thing for me, but it's not scripturally correct. Amen? I've got to take myself off that throne, so I've got to get humble before I can get bold. Number two, spend time in the Word and prayer. Probably shouldn't have to write that down, right? But if I'm going to write some bullet points on how to be bold, I have to go to where the power is. Amen? God's word shows us His way. It shows us our path and gives us the confidence we are on the right path. And I found, give me 2 Timothy 3, sir. New guys on it. All scripture is God breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I've got to go to His word in prayer. I've got to go humbly because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's going to put somebody in my path that I have to tell Him. Here's the problem. All too often, we quickly recognize somebody is on our path that we should tell about Jesus, and we don't. We're not equipped for that good work. We don't go back to that word. We get nervous and we get scared and we are not bold. So I pray this morning, Trevor, will you do me a favor and go get Tucker here in a minute? Tucker, where are you going, bro? Hey, come sit right here. I'm going to need you in just a few minutes. I'm going to land this plane and you are going to fly it with me. So it says, equipped for every good work. So number two says we have to spend time in the Word and prayer. We've got to go into our own personal prayer closet to know what God says, because your prayer life and my prayer life are different. Yes is good, amen is fine. Your prayer life and my prayer life are different. What God tells you and what God tells me are different. Do you agree? The people that God puts in my path are not the people that God puts in your path. Amen? The people that God puts in your pastor's path while he is at the firehouse on a Sunday today are not the same people that are going to be in your path. Agreed? He is not the only disciple because he has a call to ministry. Do you agree with that? If you claim Christ as a disciple of Christ, you are now ordained to propel the gospel. Because why? That song said that we have a testimony of our own life and our own faith that only we can give, and only the people that God puts in your path are going to end up in your path. So you can choose to not be bold, but I wouldn't. I would pray like they prayed to be it. Number three, don't compare yourself to others. Give me Galatians. Did I tell you Galatians? I did, didn't I? There, look at you. But let each one test his own work. Listen, I was so excited to study this, and I've been studying it for a minute. That's why it looks like I'm super prepared, but I've been working on it with the kids because I got to really get down into the weeds lightly so they can understand. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor. Don't compare yourself, for each will have to bear his own load. Don't compare yourself to what you do. I can't call Luke and say, how many times have you prayed for somebody this week? When I die and I end up in heaven, I'm not going to have to give him a testimony for what Luke did. Amen? Nate, you and I die on the same day. We're not going to roll in and go, Justin got me. He was preaching. I was just sitting in a different seat, no less. Like, that's humility right there, because that's not his normal seat. So there is a humble servant happening in that whole sandcastle arena right there. Like, they're out of their element. It's good. We should do that. But I don't have to give an attest for the people that God put in your life, correct? So I need to be bold for the people that God put in my life. So I can't compare. We all have our own path. Everyone is a disciple for Christ. Ooh, here's where I want to be. 4, spend time with bold Christians. How cool is that? You agree with that? So I called dibs the other night. Only a few of you were there on Tuesday night. Crossroads had their banquet, and this absolutely massively educated lady spoke, and it was phenomenal. Like, she had no notes. It was from the heart. She probably could have gone 2.5 hours. How do you pronounce her last name? Kayla Kessinger? Perfect, right? So she is phenomenal in the pro-life space. You want to fight about it? That's the lady. Like, she is not bold. If there is a word for, like, bold squared, she's got it. Right? It's there. And so my wife just wanted to, like, she hangs out with her because awesome, educated, and smart people can help build up one another. I wish there was a piece of scripture that would say, like, iron sharpens iron, so such man sharpens man. Oh, yeah, it is there. So we are supposed to be with other bold people. It's great. You're bold, I'll go bold with you. We find 2 people to preach to, I'm rolling with you. You're bold, I'm there. You start talking, I am for it. You agree? But she said something right in the middle that really hit me to the core, and Luke was at the table next to me, and I have the text message. I won't read it to you, but I called dibs. I heard something that would preach. I heard something that would preach, and I said, oh, I have to claim this. Like, because he's the pastor too, so he's hearing it. But she said something as you go, and she used this beautiful story in the 3 words, as you go, and it hurt my feelings, right? Because she went on an entire story that I have my own path. And as I go through life, I have to work. I have to go to the Dollar General all the time. Like, there are things that I do as I go, but I am supposed to always be on mission. Luke says it all the time. Thank you, by the way. Luke says it all the time that we are on mission at all times, correct? That whole understanding of a Monday morning faith, not just a Sunday morning faith, as we go. And she said, as you go. And I said, boy, that'll preach. So I'm not fully preaching it today, but I am laying claim, Luke. I am laying claim that I am preaching that sermon when it comes, because we all have a path in life. And what Haley does on a daily basis, I do not. You agree? And again, let's still have that divide. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the command is that you boldly preach the gospel everywhere you go. Where at? Little Luke. Where did he tell you to preach the gospel at? Before then. Yeah. Well, you forgot some area, but that's good enough. I like it. The camera didn't catch it, so Levi got it all correctly. That's us. That's us. We are supposed to. Y'all, come on. I'm going to land the plane. No, I'm not. Tucker, come here. Stand right here. Give me my last point is to refuse to live in fear. Hurtful. Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I choose life to be bold and not live in fear. Give me the other one. 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Man, if God's word says it, why do you go against it? If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, why do you go against it? Why do you defy the things that he says it doesn't have to be hard? I had a thought, and this was the answer this morning. This was the answer this morning when the devil is screaming at me that I don't have enough content for 15 minutes to preach being bold. And I'm well over my time, and it's fully okay to me, and I understand if you got to leave. But I had this visual for a moment, and I knew what they were singing. And Ray sings that song, I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand. And that is a absolutely true representation of how we should live on the daily. But if I am desiring, as the Bible talks about, to be bold in Christ, there's only one way I want to do it. Holding the hand of Jesus, day in and day out. from the time that I get out of bed to the time that I go to bed. Now, let's take for example, this guy's pretty bold. Like, he's real bold. He's bold on his own first, but imagine for a moment, and if y'all disagree with this, tell me afterwards. Don't like shatter my spirit right now. As his father of the last 9 years, this guy will go do a lot of things. But in my mind, as his father, he is ready to go to war if he holds my hand. No, hold my hand for a moment. He is ready to go to war because I'm going with dad. If I say we're going here, grab your stuff, let's go, he doesn't have to worry about it. He doesn't think that I'm going to lead him astray. I am thankful that the Heavenly Father is not like me, because he looks so much like me that it aggravates me. He does so many things like me that it aggravates me, and it makes me guilty at all times. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit, y'all come up, it's fine. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit's not like that. The more you get like God, he's not mad that you're acting like God, right? But this guy has his own power to go do what he wants to do, but the moment that dad enters the room, he's ready to go boldly wherever I am, because I am now the protector. Amen? Same thing for you moms. Same thing for you dads. Just that representation. Thank you, sir. You can go sit down or wherever you're going to find candy at. That was quick. What's going on down there? Is he like one of them park patrols? Did he sign the contract? So this morning, I'm going to keep that divide there. And my question for you, that's well past my time, my question for you, are you praying for boldness? Are you praying for boldness so that you can walk in what God has you to walk? Or are you not? Are you content with not being bold? Or have you not jumped across that line? And I'm not a big altar call giver kind of a guy, but I do believe that this message lands us into the point. I want you to leave and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't get a third option to just be yourself post filling of the Holy Spirit. We find it in the Great Commission, and we find it in chapter 2 of Acts, the beginning of the church. There's no options. There's no get the Holy Spirit and go home. Be happy and die in peace. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. We live in a world today that is louder than we are about all the things that are not of Christ. Amen? We have to be bold. We stand in a world of moral decline. And there are people that you are going to see tomorrow that I am not. There are going to be people that Trevor runs into next week that you are not. And if he's on this side of the coin, don't take this wrong, if he's on this side of the coin and he has been filled with the Holy Spirit, he has to pray to be bold and be ready, because he is in the word and in prayer to be equipped for that person that God put in the way, because he has to give an account for it. Amen? So this morning, are you bold? Could you be more bold? And if neither of that really matters, are you on fire for the Lord from the inside? And that's a you question. It's not a me question. I have my own things that I have to wrestle with in my life and the convictions that he gives on my life. But if you've never been filled with the Spirit, being bold for Christ doesn't matter. So I'm going to land the plane this way. I'm going to say, when you leave and you go to your own prayer closet this afternoon, I want you to pray, Lord, put people in my path for me to be bold. He didn't ask, Lord, what can I do to do a workout and build the muscle to be bold? That was nothing. He said, Lord, make me bold. Nothing that he could do other than pray that the Lord would give him. That's a glorious hope for you and me. It is a prayer, Lord, make me bold for you. When the opportunity comes, let me speak your existence. Because of my testimony and the burning Holy Spirit that is filled up inside of me, make it apparent, Lord. Stand with me.